Welcome to the Senior Zone,
where we connect older adults with the organizations and resources that serve them.
The Senior Zone's goal,
while working with local and national partners,
aims to educate, empower, enlighten, entertain, and engage older adults with the tools and information to stay healthy, happy, and secure.
Great guests, health tips, upcoming events, and useful information.
So get ready to take notes
and have some fun.
It's now time
for the Senior Zone.
Morning, hello, and welcome. This is the Senior Zone. I'm your host, Sean Perry, and we've got another information-packed show for you, our seniors and their caregivers, this bright and beautiful Monday morning. So get your pen and pad ready to take some notes. We have a great show for you. Again, thank you for tuning into the Senior Zone, where it's our mandate to discover the topics and discuss the critical issues and concerns facing seniors today, uniting seniors 50 and over with tips and directions to senior programs and services, tools and resources, events, advice, and cultural tidbits. The Senior Zone hopes to inspire, impact, influence, and improve the quality of life for older adults everywhere. Why? Simply because we care. The call-in number for today's show is 240-638-5430, or you can follow us online at theseniorzone.com. In the first segment of today's show, we have our good friends AARP, Legal Counsel for the Elderly, in-house to discuss how low-income seniors may qualify for up to $1,000 for property taxes or their rent being paid. I'm excited about that. Our guest will be senior attorney at LCE, Rochelle Bobroff, here, and she's in studio. In our second segment, we have a special guest and first-time visitor to the Senior Zone. We have Congressman Chris Van Hollen from the 8th District here in Maryland, here to discuss the issues that matter most to seniors. We're talking about Medicare, Social Security, cost of living, adjustment, prescription drugs, transportation, housing, and so much more. I'm excited about that. And lastly, we're going to close out the show with the revealing of our Super Senior of the Week. You don't want to miss that one. And then news and announcements. But before we begin, please allow me to thank those that keep us doing what we love to do here on the Senior Zone. And first up is AARP, Legal Counsel for the Elderly. They provide free legal advice, assistance, and referrals to all district residents 60 years of age and older. So whether it's wills, power of attorneys, landlord-tenant disputes, estate planning, and so much more, LCE is there for you and at no cost. They can be reached at 202-434-2120. That's 202-434-2120. Next up, the DC Office on Aging, under the executive leadership of Executive Director Laura Newland, they develop and carry out a comprehensive and coordinated system of health, education, employment, and social services for the district's older adults, persons living with disabilities, and their caregivers. The DC Office on Aging, their number is 202-724-5622. 202-724-5622. Last, but certainly not least, Right at Home. Right at Home is the leader in the in-home senior care industry. Their trained caregivers provide the best in in-home care for seniors and disabled adults who need some assistance to maintain their independence. So if you're looking for the best in in-home care, either for yourself or for your loved one, give Right at Home a call at 301-255-0066. That's 301-255-0066. Folks, whether this marks your first time tuning in or if you've been a regular listener to the Senior Zone for the past 3+ years, we say thank you and hope this won't be your last time visiting and traveling through. Tell a friend, tell a pastor, tell your neighbor. Check us out on Facebook. So let's get started. We have AARP, Legal Counsel for the Elderly, Senior Attorney Rochelle Bobroff. Good morning, Ms. Bobroff.
Good morning. So happy to be here.
Likewise. Again.
Yes, this is my second time.
Absolutely, absolutely. May I call you Rochelle?
Please.
Please, but that's good. Well, let's just jump right into it because, you know, I want our seniors to take advantage of this $1,000 off of their property taxes or possibly their rent being paid.
Yes.
And you're talking about a program, you call it Schedule H.
Yes.
What is Schedule H?
Okay, so this is tax season, and as seniors out there are getting their taxes done, they want to be sure that their tax preparer is checking out whether they might qualify for the Schedule H property tax credit. Now, it's a property tax credit, but the way to get it is to file income taxes. And so Schedule H is just the part of the income tax form. It's a separate income tax form for DC only for this credit that is up to $1,000. And so if you pay $1,000 or more in your property taxes, you could get that back. Or if you're a renter, they take a calculation that 20% of your rent is paying your landlord back for the property taxes. And so renters can get up to 20% of their rent or $1,000. It's capped off at $1,000. Can't be more than that, but up to $1,000 back from their rent. And it's a really huge benefit for seniors. It is tied to low income. It's not for the multimillionaires in our area. It's only for low income people. But that can be up to $40,000 if you're under 60 or even more after the age of 60. So everyone should be talking to their tax preparers about filing for Schedule H. But many low-income seniors don't have to file taxes. And so if all you have is a small amount of Social Security income, you may not have paid taxes for years, because until this credit was improved just a year ago, you might not have qualified for anything. But even if in the past you haven't qualified, I suggest that everyone check this out, because under the new rules, people may be able to get $1,000. We have clients who qualified for nothing until last year's taxes, and then in the 2014 taxes got $1,000, got the top full amount of the credit. Sure. So I would urge everyone out there to talk to your tax preparers, or if you are a very low income senior, and we help people who are 60 years of age and older, we might be able to assist you at Legal Counsel for the Elderly. You can call our hotline and see if you would qualify for our free services to help you apply.
Sure. And the trigger is you must file your taxes. Correct?
It can either be a complete tax return for people who need to file a complete tax return, or it can be just Schedule H. If all you have is a small amount of Social Security income and you don't need a full tax return, then you can just do a couple of pages, not a full tax return, and get the credit. And that's something that we help people with. We're not tax preparers. There is an AARP tax aid that would do a full tax preparation if you need it. But if all you need is the Schedule H, you don't have to do the whole tax return. You can just do just that form.
Let's quickly, what are the eligibility requirements for this program?
You have to have lived in D.C. for the entire year. So if you move to D.C. halfway through the year, wait till next year. You have to be asking for the credit for the property that you're living in. So if you own three or four other properties, that won't work. It's only for the house that you're living in. The house cannot be subsidized completely by the district and federal government. And so that's something you have to check out. Some buildings won't qualify. But those are the main requirements. Just be a DC resident, pay either property taxes or rent. And have your home be taxable, not completely subsidized. And those are the basic requirements.
What about for those that are receiving vouchers?
Housing voucher people will qualify. So if someone has a Section 8 federal voucher, don't mean to get too technical on you, but you can still qualify. So again, the best thing is just to talk to your tax preparer, check it out, see if you might qualify.
Sure. We have a lot of people that are listening to us and they live in nursing homes. Are those individuals eligible for this?
Unfortunately not. If you're not living in your home, you would not be eligible. You have to be living in your own home, not a nursing facility.
Okay. Where can one, find and locate, this Schedule H form?
Well, the Office of Tax Revenue of DC has its website, and you can go online there and get the Schedule H tax form.
Okay. And once they file, Rochelle, an application to Schedule H form, how long does it take before a decision is rendered?
We generally say 2 to 3 months. Sometimes it can be much faster, but I don't want to get people's expectations up. But if you file and you haven't heard anything, then you can call the Office of Tax Revenue and inquire. And again, we would help people follow up who are very low income.
Sure. And If they are approved for this year, do they have to file for next year as well?
Yes. It's just like any other tax return. You have to file every single year.
Okay.
So if you got it last year, be sure to file again this year. And if you miss the deadline, just so you know, you can go back a few years. So if, you know, if whatever reason senior out there just isn't feeling up to it right now in February, don't think that on April 16th you lose it. So you can file, there's a longer period than the ordinary tax forms. So even after April 15th, you could still file. And right now, if you didn't file for last year, you can still file for last year. So this is different than your ordinary tax returns that you have to file.
How far can people go back?
It's 3 years. So right now, you could apply for 2012, 13, 14, and 15 taxes.
That's about $4,000, up to $4,000.
Well, gotta
I'm doing
put
my math
the footnote
correctly.
On there because I said that the rules changed. So this year and last year, the most is $1,000. Before that, it was $750.
Okay.
So but it would still be a good deal of money. Now, on April 15th, that's the last day for 2012. After April 15th, then you can only do 13, 14, and 15. It still would be $2,750.
Yeah.
So if you've never filed for this, check it out. And if you were told two or more years ago that you didn't qualify, check it out again because the rules have changed. A lot more people are qualifying. The round numbers from the prior year, from the 2013 taxes, there were only like 4,000 some odd people that got this credit. Last year, over 17,000 individuals were getting this credit. So it's really expanded, and we want everyone who qualifies to get this.
Absolutely. And we've had enormous success from last year, our conversation around this. You know, the numbers, you had, 4,000 applications, I believe?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just ours. It's not just ours. We do about 150, 200 a year, but those are just the overall numbers for the district. I can't take credit for all 17,000.
If someone is denied their Schedule H application, is there a remedy, a recourse that they may have?
Yes. So you can talk to the Office of Tax Revenue and see what it is that they feel they need. Sometimes they want more documentation, and so you can submit more documentation and potentially appeal even beyond that.
Okay. And lastly, LCE, this is what you guys are great at. You can assist these seniors that may call in with the completion of this application.
Yes, we don't do a complete tax return. So if somebody's got like a lot of earned income, we wouldn't be able to help them because they really should go see a tax preparer. But for seniors who don't need to file a complete return and are low income, we do, as I said, we've done, we did over 100 last year.
Sure, you guys do a great job on behalf of DC seniors, and that's why I have you on this show every month. What's the contact number that folks can call LCE at?
They should call our main hotline number, which is 202-434-2120.
Okay. Right, 202-434. I mentioned that number every week.
Yes, you did.
202-434-2120. Mention Schedule H. H as in?
Horse.
Horse.
Or home.
Home. Yeah, exactly.
Happy. You'll be happy if you get your Schedule H credit of $1,000.
Hey, $1,000 for a senior on a fixed income, for a low to moderate income senior, can go a long, long way. Folks, I encourage you to take advantage of this. If you don't think you qualify, still give LCE a call. They can help you and direct you if needed. They have tax preparation service through other departments. I know
tax aid can do a complete tax return. So if it happens to be that the senior needs a full return, we would refer them there to do their complete tax return.
Gotcha. Rochelle, I want to thank you for coming in. Are there any last remarks?
Well, thank you so very much for having me. It's been my pleasure.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on to the Senior Zone. Thank everyone back at LCE, you know, for me. I love what they do. I'm so elated and happy to be associated with an organization such as AARP, Legal Counsel for the Elderly, because you're doing what I love to do, and that is help seniors with good and useful and relevant information to improve the quality of their life. So thank you so very much.
Thank you.
All right. Up next, we have Congressman Chris Van Hollen. He is here in studio. Here is Beautiful Day by Jamie Grace, brought to you by Legal Counsel for the Elderly.
Wake up and smile, 'cause it's been a while. It's been like a whole day since I stopped so you could hold me. this child awaits, strong in the faith. Lord, you are the refuge that I can't wait to get to, 'cause I can't let it die. You bring to my life. And ooh, there's something about the way your sun shines on my face. It's a love so true, I can never get enough of you. This feeling can't be wrong. I'm about to get my worship on. Take me away. It's a beautiful day. Seems to rain on my dreams. It's not a big deal. Let it wash all the bugs off my windshield. 'Cause you're showing me that in you I'm free. And you're still the refuge that I've just got to get to. So I won't let a day go. Won't let a day go by. So put the drop top down, turn it up. I'm ready to fly. And sing about, there ain't no limitations to your amazing grace, your amazing grace. And there's something about the way your love shines on my face. Oh no, I can never get enough of you.
I had money problems for several months and couldn't pay my rent. I explained the situation to my landlord, but he still says he's going to evict me. Is there anything I can do?
I gave out my personal information to someone over the phone who promised to lower my mortgage rate. I wish I hadn't fallen for that trick. Does that mean I'll lose my house?
Sadly, not having the resources for representation is a common reason many seniors are unable to protect themselves. For 40 years, Legal Counsel for the Elderly has been providing free legal services for D.C. seniors who can't afford their own. If you or someone you know is a D.C. resident 60 or older who needs legal help, please visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly. We're here to defend the rights of D.C. seniors because everyone is entitled to lawful benefits and fairness in the justice system. Visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly is a nonprofit charitable affiliate of AARP.
Good morning. We are back. I'm your host, Sean Perry, and this is the Senior Zone. With me today is Congressman Christopher Chris Van Hollen Jr. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Please allow me to properly introduce you to our, and respectfully introduce you to our listeners out there. Congressman Van Hollen, he is a U.S. representative for Maryland's 8th Congressional District, serving since 2003. He is a member of the Democratic Party. His district includes most of Montgomery County, as well as portions of Carroll and Frederick counties. Representative Van Hollen is currently running for the U.S. Senate in a bid to replace incumbent Senator Barbara Mikulski, who is retiring. Again, welcome and good morning to the Senior Zone.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
After the show, you will be an official family member here at the Senior Zone.
I'm looking forward to being inducted.
Inducted, exactly. So expect to receive your certificate, you know, in the mail thereafter.
Well, I remember when I turned 50 and I got my AARP card. So here we go. I'm a member of two clubs.
Hey, I'm excited. I'm excited, sir. So a little bit, if you can just tell our listeners a little bit more about, you know, yourself and what you did actually before you became a congressman.
Sure. My father's family is from Baltimore. He then went into the Navy. He married my mom, who'd been the daughter of an English teacher, who then herself became interested in foreign policy, and they teamed up. My dad went in the Foreign Service, so actually lived abroad many years. I was born in Pakistan and moved back to the United States and then Turkey, India. And I believe those experiences gave me a chance to sort of see the world through different experience in other people's eyes. I always believe that it was an obligation of ours to make sure that the United States lived up here at home to the sort of standard that we claim to set for ourselves overseas and work harder to make sure that we make good on the promise of equal rights and equal justice and equal opportunity. And so that's been motivating me since my first days in the Maryland legislature. I work hard to listen to people and then make the changes that I think we need in our community. I was very involved in gun safety legislation to help working families, and then on Capitol Hill became assistant to the speaker when we pushed through the Affordable Care Act and other important measures.
So, I remember when she created that position.
Well, that's right.
appointed you there.
Exactly.
And we won't hold the fact that you were born in Pakistan. We're not having that sort of discussion.
Yeah.
In the event you decide to run for president one day, you know, that won't be an issue.
As I listen to Donald Trump, I hear many ugly, divisive things. But, yes, I take this birther stuff very personally.
Yeah, I never thought I would mention that name here on the Senior Zone, but it's already been said. It's been said by you.
Well, I take it back.
But real quick, sir, tell our listeners why you're running for the U.S. Senate.
I'm running for the Senate because I think that here in our community throughout Maryland, we have huge potential and that we have an opportunity to make Maryland an even better, stronger place to live. And most importantly, that means making sure that every child in every neighborhood and every zip code has a chance to succeed in the United States of America. And that's why I've focused on early education, making sure that people then have a good elementary, middle school, K through 12 education, can go to college if they want without graduating with the big debts, and have a good life for themselves and their family, and then, of course, retire with dignity. And those are all things that we need to do better at. And I think I've got a record that shows I can bring people together to get things done.
Sure. Let's talk about that briefly. You've been in the House of Representatives for about 14 or so years?
Yeah, about 14,
somewhere in that neighborhood.
Somewhere in that neighborhood, you got it.
Tell us, as it applies to the elderly, what pieces of legislation are you most proud of since being in office?
Well, there's legislation that we've gotten through, and then there's legislation that the Tea Party and Paul Ryan have put forward that we've been able to block. But let me focus first on some important measures we passed. I was very active as part of the leadership team with Nancy Pelosi that passed the Affordable Care Act. And that acted a number of important things for seniors. It began the process of closing the prescription drug donut hole, which has saved thousands of dollars for tens of thousands of Maryland seniors. We also, in that legislation, said that we're going to have free preventive care and screenings so that people don't have to pay to go to the doctor to find out if they've got a cancer or some other disease, because we didn't want there to be any sort of cost hurdle to people finding out if they've got a disease. We want to catch those early. The Affordable Care Act also extended the life of the Medicare program by over a decade. So that legislation had very important provisions for seniors. Since the Republicans have been in charge of Congress, it's my job as the senior Democrat on the Budget Committee to block their proposals to voucherize Medicare, to cut Social Security, and we've succeeded in blocking those efforts.
I think, you know, this is just Sean Perry on his bandwagon. I think as during this election season, if you can talk to just the impact that the reduction or the decreasing of the donut hole had and the impact that it's had and it still has on seniors, and it's still reducing for the next several years, I believe, correct?
That's exactly
right. And the impact that that will have and the fight that it takes to keep it you know, continuing to reduce year after year to the point where we may not even have a donut hole in a few years. I think, you know, that may, you know, garner some votes, if you will.
Well,
but I hear about it all the, you know, all, you know, all the time. And I do have some background with PDP plan designs and that sort of stuff with healthcare providers. So I get off my donut hole background. Let's talk about the Social Security and Medicare. Why is the fight to protect and expand Social Security? It's always on the forefront. We hear it every news cycle or every election cycle. Why is it so important for Maryland seniors and future generations? And how do we get Republicans and some Democrats, you know, to give up the idea that cutting Social Security is not the way to fix Social Security?
Well, Social Security and Medicare are both bedrock policies that have kept hundreds of thousands, millions of seniors out of poverty and able to live in dignity in their older years. And despite that, you do see this concerted effort of Republicans to come after both programs, especially recently their effort to voucherize Medicare, which would result in seniors getting the equivalent of a set amount, like a voucher. And the problem is that the value of that voucher doesn't keep track with rising healthcare costs, and so seniors are stuck having to absorb all those higher costs. So I've led the effort against that, and we have been able to block it. On the Social Security side, you also continue to see efforts. First, the privatization effort under George Bush, now other efforts to trim benefits. I'm proud to be part of a piece of legislation called Social Security 2100.
Sure.
Put forward by John Larson in the House, and that would expand benefits for Social Security and strengthen it in a way that maintains its solvency going forward.
And that's a fight that we can anticipate having again with the new speaker. I know Paul Ryan had mentioned some years ago about, you know, and we hear it all the time, the privatization of Social Security. And so it's a constant struggle and battle that we have.
Well, that's right. This was a determined effort of the Republicans for many years, the privatization piece. I still think that that's their long-term objective. In the meantime, they've been, you know, fighting other skirmishers on Social Security. But I'm proud as the senior Democrat on the Budget Committee to have led those efforts against those budget proposals and try, as I say, to actually strengthen both Social Security and Medicare.
Sure. I have a question. It's a long question, so bear with me on this one. For only the third time in 40 years, Social Security recipients didn't receive a cost of living adjustment in their monthly benefits for 2016. As you know, COLA is tied to the Consumer Price Index, which dropped last year, 0.2% in September, I believe. So in theory, when that cost of living for Americans should decrease when the CPI decreases. But as you know, because of rising healthcare costs and other costs associated specifically for the elderly, that doesn't necessarily happen when that number doesn't go down. I interviewed, you know, Representative Donna Edwards recently, as well as former Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown, and they both advocate for reformulating, you know, the CPI and how it's calculated from the CPIW to the CPIE. What's your position?
So there are two things. There's the immediate issue of this current year and trying to address that, and I'm part of a piece of legislation that would make a increase for Social Security right now in terms of the COLA for this year. Second, we need to do exactly what you're pointing to, which is to change the way we calculate the cost for seniors to something called CPIE for elderly. The E stands for elderly. And as we're seeing this year, when you use an index that does not take into account the specific additional costs of the elderly, you end up with this a year where there's no cost increase, because the major driver in that factor was the fact that gasoline prices went down.
Sure. But it's a negative impact for the elderly.
Well, that's right. And so, and gasoline prices are not the main sort of cost that seniors face. Seniors face other health care costs. They face housing costs, which is why we should change the way we measure cost increases for seniors to reflect what seniors are actually facing. And that's what I have proposed. It's also part of this legislation we've introduced to change
CPIE
that.
CPIE is not new. It's been around for years. So what's the challenge? Where's the struggle? How can we rally seniors and educate them more on CPIE? I believe there's something else coming out, a grander CPIE. I think I've heard CPIU. I could be wrong there, sir. But how can we rally seniors? Because this affects them.
Yes, it does.
In the last 7 years, you know, it's been three times where seniors didn't get a COLA increase.
Yes, and that's why we've put forward this proposal that we're fighting for. We would love to have seniors enlisted in this effort. What we need to do is change the way the Social Security formula works to include this CPIE. Because that does take into account these additional costs that seniors face. So, for example, this year, a part of a bill that would do that, you would get about a 2.4% cost of living increase that reflects the true costs of living for seniors.
Sure, sure. With my bleeding heart, you know, and love and reverence for the senior community, I just think that this issue would be a bipartisan sort of issue. But you know it better than I do, the struggles down on Capitol Hill when it comes to things like this. So that's Sean Perry. Switching gears real quick, I just saw recently, I think a press release via your website, where you've encouraged the Obama administration to take action against the drug maker Pfizer, America's biggest pharmaceutical company, in a way that our listeners can understand, as well as myself. What is this all about, and how will this improve the quality of life for our elderly?
Well, there are
this action that you've encouraged the Obama administration to take.
Well, there are a couple things related to the pharmaceutical industry and a number of corporations in the United States. More and more corporations are trying to abandon their responsibilities to American taxpayers by engaging in what are called inversions, which essentially means they change their mailbox to an overseas address, so they no longer have to pay taxes here in the United States. And when they don't pay taxes in the United States, it means everybody else has to pay more in order to meet our obligations for investing in transportation or education, all things which these companies themselves benefit from. So I've introduced legislation leading the charge with one of my colleagues to clamp down on this. Now, President Obama has been doing everything he can through his executive authority. But at the end of the day, we also need to take congressional action. I'm pleased, you know, the president is fully behind the legislation that I'm pushing for. And it's very, very disappointing to see Republicans continuing to protect and defend these tax breaks for these.
Because while at the same time, they're avoiding taxes, which all of us contribute and pay into, the cost of drugs continue to go up.
Well, and that's...
So they're getting it on both sides.
That's exactly right. So they're not, you know, meeting their responsibilities to American taxpayers. And at the same time, as you say, the prices are going through the roof, which is why I've been a strong proponent of allowing the Medicare program to negotiate drug prices. And if you look at the budgets that have been put forward by the president and myself on behalf of Democrats, we essentially call for providing prices through the Medicare program that are similar to the prices we get in Medicaid.
Yeah, you know, I never understood, sir, why one arm of government can negotiate for drug prices, the VA, while Medicare cannot. This wasn't part of
raised it. It's outrageous. It's because it was actually written into the law many years ago as part of an earlier prescription drug bill. It was a gift to the pharmaceutical industry. And we need to change that. And it's a simple thing to do. And we're going to have to keep fighting for it. This is another thing where we need to enlist the support, not just of seniors, but of all taxpayers.
Sure.
Because everybody's having to pay more because we can't do what any, you know, business would be able to do, which is negotiate.
And I'm sure Medicare would be the biggest customer or the biggest client to all these pharmaceutical companies negotiate a better price for our Medicare recipients.
Well, that's right. Look, you know what I mean? Insurance companies do that. When insurance companies go out to, you know, bargain on behalf of their members, they use their bargaining power.
Exactly.
Why not use the bargaining power of the whole Medicare program? Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, keep fighting for that for us, you know, sir, while you're, you know, in your current office, and if and when you assume, you know, the U.S. Senate seat there. I believe that's so important as well. It's all about, you know, improving the quality of life for our seniors. Let's talk hunger and food insecurity, you know, for the elderly. According to AARP, by 2030, there will be more than 72 million older people in the United States, more than twice the number it was in 2000, just 16 years ago. Globally, within 35 years, there will be more older people, or people older than 60, than there will be under the age of 15. Rates of food insecurity among those 50 and over have more than doubled since 2001, and rates of obesity and diabetes and other chronic diseases contributed to our skyrocketing healthcare costs. My question to you is, on the federal level, what collaboratively can be done between public and private sectors to ensure that no senior goes hungry?
Well, this is a very important issue. So first of all, we need to make sure that we don't roll back the protections that are there through Social Security. Second, we were talked a little bit earlier about expansion of Social Security and strengthening Social Security. One of the very important provisions of that bill is to increase the minimum Social Security benefit for lower income seniors. Because as you know, you have a huge number of seniors who depend exclusively on Social Security for their welfare, for
their lifeline.
It's their lifeline. And what we propose to do is to increase that amount, and especially increase it for families and seniors who are lower income. So that would provide, number one, more money for food. So that's why that's important. Second, we need to strengthen programs that support food within the communities, the Meals on Wheels programs and others. That's something that I've been pushing for. And again, it's outrageous that one of the things the Republicans targeted in their budget was the category of funding that we use for programs like Meals on Wheels. And this is the same time that they're calling for another round of tax breaks for millionaires and very wealthy people.
So
in addition to strengthening Social Security, we need to provide more funds for these basic food security programs, as well as the general food nutrition program, the SNAP program, which is also coming under attack. And I should say that one of the things that's happening right now on Capitol Hill is that Speaker Ryan and the Tea Party Republicans are talking about significant cuts to the categories of the budget that currently fund food and nutrition programs, like the SNAP program.
Yeah. It's a constant fight. For the sake of time, and I need to have you and your opponent and others much longer when I do these sorts of interviews, because I'm trying to cover everything all within 25 minutes. But for the sake of time, let's play a game. I call it my for or against game with respect to strengthening Medicare. Just quickly, yes or no. Are you for or against changing the way Medicare pays for its benefits?
The way Medicare pays for its benefits? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not for changing the age or any of those proposals.
Okay.
And I do believe, and we did this, President Obama has done this as part of the Affordable Care Act, where we move toward a system where we are paying providers based on the value of care they're providing, not just the volume of care, because we want them focused on delivering the kinds of care that seniors need, not just sort of doing as many tests as possible. But so the president's proposals, I think, have moved us in the right direction, where we're improving quality and also providing some savings to the program without cutting benefits.
Billing for outcome versus billing for
procedure.
Yeah, because they can just kill us with procedure.
Exactly.
You just mentioned raising it. I was going to ask you about raising the Medicare eligibility age to 67. I've heard that, you know, in the news cycle. And I take it you're against raising the Medicare eligibility age from 65?
I am against doing that, yes.
Okay. What about raising the Medicare payroll tax?
I don't think that's the best way to improve the sustainability of Medicare. In fact, the proposals that I put forward and others have put forward would actually increase the apply the payroll tax at higher income levels. And in fact, the bill that Mr. Larson put forward that I'm a co-sponsor of would start that at about $450,000 of income and begin to apply the payroll tax to that and over time fill it in.
Sure, sure. I have a couple of questions, a few more questions. You know, with Americans living longer, senior citizens have challenges to overcome that are universal to all age groups, but some are very specific to the senior age group. With that being said, you know, from my research, from my experience out in the senior community on a daily and weekly basis, you know, I show these as our top issues, and I won't go into all of them, but transportation, housing, health care, and prescription drug costs, as well as abuse and neglect, you know, by predators. If we can, let's touch on transportation. How do we expand public transportation to ensure that all of our communities benefit, specifically our senior citizens? And that's the number one issue that I found.
Yeah, no, it's interesting you raise this because we've been doing a lot of work at Leisure World, which, of course, is a very large
I'm going seniors there today. Community.
Are you going there today?
Yes, I am.
Right. So WMATA was attempting to actually reduce the access that folks at Leisure World had to the transportation system. They were trying to cut down on the number of transit rides and that kind of thing. And we've been engaged in a pitched battle, right, with respect to WMATA, which always keeps to try, you know, rising its head again. So I'm very focused on transportation because, as you say, look, if you're a senior, your quality of life and your ability to simply, you know, carry on, you know, go to the grocery store and things like that largely depends on your ability to get around.
Yeah,
get around.
Mobile.
And some seniors, of course, can still use their cars, but so many need public transportation, and we need to make that connection. No, I hear this is probably the biggest issue I hear about, in addition to the Social Security COLA.
Yeah, we can't speak about aging in place because we don't want them to stay in place. We want them to get out and be mobile and be included in the community, participating in social and recreational activities. And so that's what I hear all the time, better transportation, you know, opportunities and options, you know, for our seniors, because they still want to get outside of their four walls, if you will. So please continue to fight for that.
Well, when you're at Leisure World today, you may hear about this issue.
I mentioned that I'm going out to see.
Give me a call if you're hearing it's still happening.
I'm going out to see a Ms. Frankie Williamson. She's an 82-year-old out there in Leisure World, and she's been calling me and invited me out to come out there. So hello, Ms. Williamson. I shall see you soon. We know about, you know, health. We know that health issues progress as we age, sir, but some threaten and worry us more than others. And I've been on the bandwagon and rallying behind, you know, greater Alzheimer's research at the federal level. And in your position now, and then if you assume a Senate position, what more can you do to advance the research for Alzheimer's, dementia, and macular degeneration diseases?
Well, this is a huge issue, and it's also one I've been very focused on, increasing our investment in biomedical research, but focused also specifically on Alzheimer's research, because we obviously have an aging population, and it's really important that we make the investments necessary to try to find a cure and treatment to Alzheimer's. You know, my dad suffered from Alzheimer's in his late years, and it's really tough on everybody, and we need to really have a all hands on deck effort for Alzheimer's, both in terms of trying to find treatments and a cure, and also to provide a support system for families who have loved ones with Alzheimer's. But you know, this has been a major fight of mine, and it's a fight that will continue, and it's a fight that will not only benefit you know, Alzheimer's patients and their families if we're able to move forward on this, but if you think about it, it's going to help everybody else too, because one of the largest costs in the Medicare program, of course, is helping people who have Alzheimer's.
Sure. It's the sixth leading cause of death. It's the fifth leading cause of death for those that are 65 years of age and older. And it's the only one in the top 10 of deaths that can't be prevented, can't be cured, or there's no cure for it. and can't even be slowed down at this point. Yeah. And it's one of the most worrisome ones that I find when I speak with seniors and what I hear from them, you know, when I go out and about. And I'm in my 50s now, so I'm approaching that. And yeah. I don't want it to be one of my worries 10 years from now. I believe and hope that, you know, that a cure can be found with a concerted effort from all parties involved, private and public, right, to find a cure by 2020.
Well, the president announced a State of the Union address, the moonshot against cancer, and I think we should put a huge amount of effort into conquering cancer. We should make an equal effort to conquer Alzheimer's.
Sure.
And so I believe one of the most unfunded areas of the U.S. government is our investment in medical research. We're, of course, not far from the National Institutes of Health, NIH, right here. They do incredible work. And if you look at their budget today, it actually is lower in real terms. We were talking about cost of living in connection with Social Security.
Sure.
The NIH budget is lower in real terms today than it was in the early 2000s. And that is a huge lost opportunity for our country, not just in terms of cures that could be developed, but also in terms of our economy and economic growth.
Sure. Sir, we are out of time. I wish I had more time with you. It's been a pleasure talking with you. I wanted to extend to you, you know, 30 seconds to a minute, as I did with Ms. Edwards, as well as former Governor Lieutenant Anthony Brown, to talk to our listeners out there, speak to the elderly. You know, what will you do and what can you do for them in your next position or in your current position?
Well, I will continue to fight every day for the elderly who have earned the benefits they receive in Social Security and Medicare. And we not only need to make sure that that promise is kept, but we need to make sure that it's modernized and refreshed. And that's why I'm supporting legislation to strengthen and modernize Social Security. Look, in this campaign, I'm proud to have been endorsed by many of the groups that have, you know, followed my record, everything from SEIU, which is an organization dedicated to working people and protecting their benefits, to the Sierra Club for protecting the environment, to the firefighters throughout Maryland who are there to help all of us, including seniors, if we ever need them. So I'm hoping, with the support of seniors and others in the state, to have the chance to represent them in the United States.
Well, as you know, they are a significant voting block. But, sir, thank you for being a champion of the 8th District, you know, for the last 14 years. And I look forward to speaking with you again soon and continue to fight for our elderly.
Thank you so much.
Capitol Hill. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Up next, we have our Super Senior of a Week announcement, as well as news and announcement. I'm so excited. But for now, here is "The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power" by the O'Neill Brothers.
right at home is a special kind of company for seniors and others who need care at home. We start with a full assessment of a person's situation. Then we create a customized plan and match up a caregiver.
We take them from disconnected to connected.
Our professionals help with basic tasks like preparing meals or medication monitoring. We provide support and transportation to doctor's visits and social events.
They become involved instead of uninvolved.
We'll take them where they want to go and help them keep doing the things that they enjoy.
With us, care is consistent, not inconsistent.
And every right-at-home caregiver is reliable, trained, and background checked.
So you can go from uncertain to certain.
It's the right care. Right at home. Call Right at Home at 301-255-0066. We'll set up a free in-home consultation at your convenience. That's 301-255-0066.
We are back. This is Sean Perry of the Senior Zone, and it is now time to reveal our Super Senior of the Week. The Super Senior of the Week is a recognition by the Senior Zone of an exceptional older adult doing extraordinary things in his or her life and within the local community in spite of their age. So in today's Super Senior, we highlight a woman. I've known her for 5 or 6 years, somewhere in that neighborhood, and one that I've affirmed lives life each day with intention and full of purpose. Here's a little about this remarkable woman, Miss Nancy Berry, and what she's doing since retirement. She's a former Miss Senior DC of 2013. She's the current president of the DC Seniors Cameo Club. She's an active member of the Auxiliary American Legion Post on Capitol Hill. She teaches part-time at the Don Bosco Cristo Rey Catholic High School in Tacoma Park. She coaches girls volleyball there at Don Bosco Cristo Rey in the fall. She's an avid hand quilter and a member of 2 quilting guilds. She gives quilting lessons. She loves the line dance and gives all sorts of line dance lessons. And she hand dances, she says, when she at every opportunity that she can. Lastly, she's currently on 2 planning committees, one for the upcoming Miss Senior DC pageant of 2016 in June and the planning of the DC Cameo Club's 20th anniversary. I'm tired just talking about Miss Nancy Berry, who is 68 years young and a native Washingtonian and retired educator. Good morning, Miss Berry.
How are you? Good morning. Goodness, I'm tired too, listening to myself.
I know I needed more time with you. It's a pleasure to have you back here on the Senior Zone, because we interviewed probably two or so years ago.
Yes.
But Nancy,
and I always enjoy your show and being with you at other affairs.
I love you, Nancy. I love when I have the opportunities to see you. But let's inspire a few seniors, because you are active. You are doing what seniors need to do, and that is stay active. So tell us, how do you muster up the energy each and every morning to get up and do what you do?
Well, I guess because my philosophy is, and I tell seniors, including myself, you've got to keep moving. And I know a lot of us will get into a rut. Maybe we used to do, and then it gets to be so easy to get into a little thing that you just do at home. But just sort of plan ahead. I used to be able to jump up and just go and do, but now you've kind of got to look at your calendar and psych yourself out and plan a little bit. But just know, I'm going to do it. And once you get out there, somehow you get energized, and I am fine until I come home and sit down. But until then, I really enjoy everything that I'm doing.
Well, I can't tell that you are not fine once you get home, because when I see you, you are just doing your thing. So what's most rewarding about, you know, the life that you live now, the volunteering and helping other elders?
I think it's just the joy on their faces. I think when I smile at them, or the touch, it just sort of brings them, it's a feeling of someone cares, someone has taken a moment to personally speak to them individually. You know, like when we go to some larger affairs where a lot of seniors are, I love to just go around and take a few seconds and say, hello, how are you? How are you doing? And a lot of them may remember me, and then I will remember where I saw them before. So just kind of putting a little energy into other people.
Yeah. Why do you think, or why do you feel it's important for seniors, other seniors, to know and believe that they too can accomplish great things in spite of their age? And great things don't have to, great things can mean going back to college or running a marathon or taking a dance lesson. You know what I mean? You know,
talk
to that population, Nancy.
And I, you know, if nothing else, it just, it really does make you feel better when you get moving. And moving doesn't mean, like you said, a marathon or whatever. Moving could be even if you got in your car or public transportation and went to CVS, walked around a little bit, and came back home. Just some little activity does not have to be every day, mm-hmm. but you should set a goal that I'm going to do something at least. Start with once a week, and you'd be surprised how that little bit of movement, go outside, walk down, go to the corner, come back, walk down to your apartment lobby, walk around a little bit, come back upstairs, you know, just any type of movement. You've got to start moving. It doesn't have to be dramatic or strenuous.
And just I know you're not talking about just physical movement. You're also talking about exercising your mind. So if you want to learn
exercise,
and grow there
right.
as well.
Right. You've got to do that too, because they're doing all kinds of studies. You know, do that search a word. Do that crossword puzzle. Do that Sudoku.
Absolutely.
Crochet, knit.
Well, Nancy,
I am
almost out of time. I want to thank
right.
you, and I want to congratulate you on being, you know, our super senior of the week. I know they don't know yet, but I know, and many others do as well, that you are doing it. And I'm so proud of you, and I'm so happy to have you as our super senior of the week.
And thank you for the opportunity, and everybody keep moving.
All right. I'll see you soon. Love you.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
All right. We got a few announcements to make. There's free tax preparation. AARP Tax Aid provides free tax preparation assistance for low to moderate income taxpayers who live and work in Montgomery County. This program runs during the tax season until April 18th, and they're at more than 20 sites. Appointments are required. For more information, call 240-777-2570. Free tax preparation, 240-777-2577. Beginning in April, on the second Monday of each month, the Alzheimer's Association Memory Cafe will offer a fun and relaxed way for people living with early stage memory loss to get connected with one another through social events that promote interaction and companionship at the Silver Spring Library here in Silver Spring, Maryland. Pre-registration is required. Call Anna Nelson at 703-766-9006. That's 703-766-9006. Be sure to join us next Monday here on the Senior Zone. To have your birthday or announcements or event mentioned here, you can give us a call at 800-217-1984. Until then, have an intentionally blessed week. We love you.
Be sure to join us on our next broadcast.
Until then,
live simply,
love generously,
care deeply,
speak kindly,
and leave the rest to God. Have a wonderful week, and God willing, the Senior Zone will be here for another informative and entertaining hour next Monday morning at 10 a.m.